We have AEW tonight had Rick and Morty. And NXT had Poppy. And Fox has, as I speak, I think, what is it, the sixth inning here? Game 7 of the World Series between the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals. AEW and NXT both are going to get smashed tonight. Anytime there's a Game 7, it almost doesn't even matter. I feel like what sport, it doesn't matter who the teams are, big market teams, small market teams. Everybody loves a good Game 7. So I'm sure both these shows are going to take a big hit tonight. What do we got here? Astros are up 2-0. Astros were my pick to win. I'm a New York Mets fan. I don't really give a shit. If I had the option of seeing both these teams lose, I would love to see that. I'm sorry, all you Houston people, all you DC folks out there. But if I had to pick a team, my team was the Nationals. Or not the Nationals. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. The Astros. And it looks like the Astros are well on their way to winning the championship tonight. But a lot can happen. A lot can happen here in these final innings. I'm sure all the international folks really love all the baseball talk. I did flip over to the start of NXT to see Poppy's performance. And then she sang Io Shirai to the ring for her match against Candice LeRae. I turned off at that point. I did think that was cool. I don't know what to make of Poppy. I saw a video of her on a local news show plugging her new book a while back. She had a new book out. They had her in studio, some local TV station somewhere, probably in the Midwest. I forgot what state. These people did not know what they got themselves into with this girl. They just did not know how to talk to her. She gave these one-word soundbite answers. She would just sit there and stare at them. It was the funniest thing. You find it on YouTube. These people did not know what to make of Poppy. And it was one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen. That was really my first exposure to who this woman even was. And she fascinates me. So when I heard that she was going to be on NXT, and I looked into it a little bit more, you know, they used her music once before, I think for an Io Shirai video package. She seems to be a really big NXT fan. I'm fascinated by her fascination with NXT. So I thought that was a pretty cool get for them tonight, just based on what I saw. The whole performance at the beginning of the show there was kind of cool. But I did not watch much else of NXT tonight beyond that. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Halloween Eve, October 30th, 2019, live from Charleston, West Virginia. I am not in Charleston, West Virginia. I should correct that. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, which is pretty far away from Charleston, West Virginia, but that's where the show was tonight. Let me just say a couple notes here at the beginning. The Twitter poll is open. I will flash the poll later on to show you where the results are at. Poll's going to be open for a few days, so if you haven't voted yet, head on over at Solomonster on Twitter. Let your voice be heard. I want to know what you guys thought of the show tonight. Thumbs up, thumbs down, what did you think? So go vote. Also, hit that sub button. If you are not already subscribed to the channel, you will get a shout-out on screen. If everything is functioning the way that I set it up, that should happen. I guess I shouldn't guarantee anything. But yes, if you are not sub, please go sub now. Also, same with Super Chats. Super Chats are open for those who wish to donate. You will, or you may, be seeing some of those flash on your screen tonight as well. I very much appreciate everybody who takes the time to drop a Super Chat. And I'm just checking a few things out here. Before we get going, JJ Smith in the chat says, Jason is lying. I saw you wrestle tonight. Oh, you got me. You got me there. You caught me red-handed. What can I say? Let me close out of a few things here. Thank you, Oofman. Oofman rules. Just subscribe to the channel. Again, I set a few things up a little bit differently tonight. So my hope, anyway, is that we may get some of these notifications on here, but we may not. Because I may have just completely set everything up the wrong way. So I guess we'll find out. Oh, there we go. There we go. We got a new Super Chat from Jose Inoua 1. Wow, $20 Super Chat. Moxley has been unleashed. Orange Cassidy for president. Thank you so much. $20. Wow, thank you, Jose. We're barely getting going here. We already got the $20 Super Chat. Thank you so much. And we got a new subscriber. here as well. A lot of action here on the channel. Now, I got to mention this. I don't know how many of you may have seen this or not. Before the show went on the air tonight, AEW tweeted out a link. And they tweeted out a link to a video of trick-or-treaters. This was a spoof off of something that WCW did many years ago back in 1993. It was a group of people, group of kids going trick-or-treating. They come to this one final house, and when the door opens, it is Tony Schiavone. And it was, yeah, whatever. They had a little comedy with them. Dasha Bot, I guess Dasha Fuentes now, under whatever name she's using, is now working for AEW. And showing more personality now than she ever was able to in WWE. I'll let you guys go watch it yourselves if you want to see the big punchline. But basically, it was just a nice callback to the Halloween Havoc 1993 intro. Where Tony Schiavone dressed up, I think, as Dracula, and he answered the door. I thought that was kind of cool. Any old school WCW fans? See here. Kinganator NZ. Drop it a super chat. Have a scary Halloween. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Speaking of Schiavone, the show opened, Dynamite did, with him on the runway greeting Cody and Dustin's plane. Schiavone took a ride to the arena, and he was taking a ride to the arena with Cody. This was absolutely a callback. If the trick-or-treating thing was maybe a callback, this was without a doubt a callback to Gene Okerlund riding to the arena with Ric Flair in Ric Flair's limo for Starrcade 93. I'm loving all these callbacks to the old school here. I have to say, I'm sure this was like all Cody's family anyway. But this was cool because they cut back to them later in the show. They were riding to the building. That actually was not cool. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. We'll get into that a little later. A lot of 1993 love on the show tonight. The only thing better would have been some 1992 love. But I'm not going to ask for too much. We then cut to Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley was in Tony Khan's office. We heard shouting going on inside. They put subtitles up on the screen as if he was speaking another language. He was very upset that Tony Khan had made Moxley's match with Kenny Omega at Full Gear a non-sanctioned Lights Out match. Very similar to the Lights Out match that Omega had with Joey Janela a few weeks ago on AEW Dark. Khan, he does not want Moxley to get a win over his boy. That's what Moxley was saying. You don't want me to get a win over your boy. You're protecting him. And he says what happens to Omega now is on Tony Khan's hands. Like the blood of Kenny Omega is on Tony Khan's hands. Thank you, Ryan Lee, for subscribing to the channel. I appreciate it. One thing I noticed tonight was more backstage segments. And I've talked about this in recent weeks. More backstage segments and promos on tonight's show, which is something the show really, really needed. Instead of match after match after match with very little in between. And NXT has had the same issue. I noticed a little bit of a difference tonight on AEW. We had a few segments, the stuff with Cody and Tony, and we had the contract signing. We had a Moxley promo. So I thought that was good. You got to break things up a little bit. I think that they're heading in the right direction. We had Hangman, Adam Page, against Sammy Guevara of the Inner Circle. Page hit a great-looking moonsault off the post to the floor. And he plays that role as the cocky, arrogant asshole, you know, very well. Buckshot Lariat turned Sammy inside out for the win. I thought this was a good opener. Page took the mic when it was over. He promised that at Full Gear in his match against Pac. Another new subscriber here on Master just subscribed. Thank you for the sub to the channel. Page took the microphone. He promised that at Full Gear, he's going to do some real cowboy shit. Which got a... I'm going to be hearing the freaking Crypt Keeper in my ear all night. Oh my goodness. This is just for Halloween. I figure we'll have some fun with it. And I got the Crypt Keeper in my ear every 8 seconds. I love the Crypt Keeper, so it's all good. Hopefully it's not too annoying to you guys. There he is again. So we got a cowboy shit chant from the crowd, which I thought was kind of funny. Hikaru Shida against newcomer Shanna. Born in Lisbon, Portugal. She's been a name that's been all over the place independently for many years. If she is signed, then I don't know if she has officially signed an AEW contract or not, or if she's a free agent. Maybe they just brought her in tonight. This could have been her big break after many years of floating around. You know, this may be her first time signing with a big company. And I'll say this much. If this was sort of a tryout for her, it could not have gone any better. I thought this was the best women's match that I've seen to date in AEW. And I'm on the record before saying that I think the women's matches in AEW so far have been one of the weak points of the show. You know, for all the talk about the tag team division and how strong the tag team division is, the women's division is almost the opposite, or it has been almost the opposite in AEW, where it's just been lacking. You know, I talked about Britt Baker and stuff like that. Well, tonight was a turning point, potentially, for the women's division. I thought this was easily the best of the women's matches yet. We had Sheeta with a flying knee. At one point, there was a chair set up outside the ring. And she sets the chair up outside, and she does basically like a running flying knee. Propelled herself off the chair into is this Shayna or Shanna? I think they pronounce it as Shanna. I'm going to call her Shanna. Hopefully that's the way it's pronounced. Shanna, a little bit later on, tried for an Angel's Wings. Sheeta blocked it, hit a spike pile driver. Shanna rolls out to the apron. I really did enjoy this match. Sheeta, in the end, hit a running knee strike for the win. She's going to be, I think, a big force in that division as well, if she's going to be sticking around. We had a very weird video package for Brandi Rhodes. She was staring at photos of Britt Baker and Riho, and Awesome Kong was in here doing some weird shit, and Kong, I think at one point, had like a, what was it, like a meat cleaver, and she's chopping off hair extensions, and they're flying all over the place. This is very weird. Yeah, the Crypt Keeper thinks so too. This was a very weird segment. I guess we're going to see a crazy side, I guess, of Brandi Rhodes. I don't know. Let me just see what's going on here in the Super Chat section. Oh, we got a new one here. I got to shout out Bezafied, Kenny Omega. Could have brought a chair to the ring and... What did he say here? Hold on a second. Could have brought a chair to the ring and double cosplayed as both Sans and La Parka. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. I'm going to talk about... Oh my God. Hold on a second. That's like a giant bug in front of me. Get out of here. And I just murdered it. Chris Van Vliet, or as MJF would say, Chris Van Vliet. Sorry, Chris. Introduced the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky and Robert, back-to-back nights. We saw a vignette for the Rock and Roll Express last night on NWA Power, and here tonight, the Rock and Roll Express are live on TNT. They were here to present the championship belts to the new champions later in the show, which ended up not happening because of an angle that they shot here. But think about how amazing that is. Think about Ricky and Robert have to be, what are they now, early 60s? Mid-60s, probably like 62, 63. And they're still wrestling. They're doing independence. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And there they are last night on NWA Power. And they're going to be coming in and wrestling. And I won't spoil what's coming up in the weeks to come. But they're going to be a big part of that show. And here they are making an appearance, getting a big reaction in Charleston, their old stomping grounds, on AEW television. So, 2019. It's pretty amazing. So they get attacked from behind. You knew they were here for a reason. They weren't just here to give the belts to the new champions. They get attacked by Santana and Ortiz. Santana takes a sock, presumably filled with quarters. The old Jacques Rougeau move to Dynamite Kid. See how many of you get that story. He hits Ricky in the gut with it. Santana and Ortiz, they team up to pick Ricky up, and they drop him through part of the stage. The gimmicked part of the stage, he falls through. Jim Ross was not happy about this at all. The fans were not happy about this. The Young Bucks came out to chase them off, call for help. I thought this was a good angle. Good way to get heat on the heels, beating up the Rock and Roll Express in Charleston. Like I said before, their old stomping grounds. Good heat. We had the Best Friends And Orange Cassidy, let me just move that over. Best friends in Orange Cassidy dressed up as Ricky and Morty, or Rick and Morty, not Ricky. Jesus Christ, Ricky Morton. Rick and Morty. And they had Rick and Morty, or whoever does the voices for Rick and Morty, the cartoon, doing the voiceovers here for their ring introduction. We had them taking on the team of Alex Reynolds, John Silver, and QT Marshall. And I flipped over to NXT at this point, just to see what was going on. And I see the Kabuki Warriors against Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. I see Asuka back in an NXT ring at Full Sail University, and I would have stayed with NXT if they did not cut to commercial almost immediately after I flipped over. I mean, you give me the choice between Rick and Morty or Asuka and Kairi Sane back at Full Sail. The choice is obvious. But they went to an ad break, so I flipped back to AEW. That was, I would say, in these first few weeks, it's been about a month now that we've had the head-to-head, right, between AEW and NXT. And by the way, was it Nick B in the chat? What did he say? Did you fart? No, I got a weird ringing in my ear. Hopefully that was just my headphones. So let me know if you hear that again. It was like a weird static noise. I assure you my gaseous whatever's going on is not coming out. There's the Crypt Keeper again. There's the Crypt Keeper. Yukio rules. $10 super chat. Loved AEW tonight. Hope you did too. I did. I enjoyed AEW tonight a lot. I thought this was a very strong show. Good build. You said there's a ticking noise. King Nader says there's a ticking noise. Hopefully not. I don't hear anything now. Everything sounds good on my end. So again, let me know. I will investigate if there are any weird noises. So you guys will keep me posted. So this was the first, I would say this was kind of the first Monday Night War moment that I've had between these two shows where I felt compelled to flip to the other channel. I don't give a shit about Rick and Morty. And I'm sorry to all the Rick and Morty fans out there. I'm sure it's a fine cartoon. But I don't give a shit. Now, Poppy, you can give me some more Poppy. I'll take that. Rick and Morty, I really don't care. I've always been more of a Beavis and Butthead guy myself. Losing audio. Well, that's not good. Let's check that out. Could be my internet connection. Hold on, hang in there. Hang in there, guys. I just have to make a change. Hang in there. Ah, the joys of live streaming. The joys of live streaming. So we'll fix this. We will fix this. Let me just make a change here. Do-do-do. And thank you for the updates, by the way, because I rely on feedback from you guys to let me know, you know, what's going on, if there's any issues, if there's any problems. What in the world is going on here? What in the world is going on here? Yeah, it's weird. I've been having some weird internet issues and Wi-Fi problems, and I was a little worried going into the stream tonight. So I'm hoping that that is not what's going on here. As the Crypt Keeper is still laughing, so I know that's working. But again, guys, keep me posted. I don't want to go on here into the rest of the show until I know this is fixed. So just keep me posted. I'm not going anywhere. You guys got me for the night. So I will fix whatever needs to be fixed. But I need your feedback. Just let me know if it's a little bit better. Because I'm still getting an error here, so I'm a little bit worried. Yeah, Rick and Morty, you know, I blame Rick and Morty for this shit. They sabotaged my stream. God damn it. All right, it's good now? All right, well, I'll take your word for it. I hope it is, because from what I'm seeing here, it may not be. But if you tell me that it's good, then I shall move on. By the way, Sohail, thank you very much. Super Chat, $1.99. Appreciate it. Also, Pradosh. Pradosh Varchese. Varchese? Super Chat, $5. Thank you, sir. Very kind of you. As we move on now to Tony Schiavone and Cody. Now, I like the stuff they did with Tony and Cody. I like the idea of them in the limo riding to the building. I thought that aspect of it was cool. But they had a segment here where they were in the limo. And they're having a casual conversation with each other. Tony Schiavone is talking to Cody and giving him life advice. And Cody is talking about his father. And his mother is going to be there at Full Gear. And it means so much to him to be challenging for the championship. And what a big deal it is to him. And they're talking about all of this stuff. And it's just going on and on. And you can hear the fans in the background booing. Now, this was after the ring introductions had already been done. So you've got the Best Friends. You've got Orange Cassidy. They're just standing around. This is like WWE, where they've got people standing in the ring. They'll stand there like idiots through an entire commercial break. They'll come back. They'll have the announcers promoting something. Meanwhile, these poor bastards are standing in the ring like dodos. And that's kind of what happened here. So this segment with Tony and Cody, it just went way too long. And the fans started to boo, and then thankfully they cut that short, and they cut to the match. Orange Cassidy. This was a short match anyway, went about 3 minutes. Whatever happened before this Orange Cassidy stuff doesn't even matter, because the people went nuts. The people went nuts for me, for him, rather. Orange Cassidy. He hit QT Marshall with some of the most devastating kicks that you have ever seen in your life. All of the judo masters out there and sambo and taekwondo and every kind of do that's in existence would be jealous of these kicks that Orange Cassidy doled out to QT Marshall. He knocks Marshall out to the floor, and then he does a dive out to the floor, hands in his pockets. Now, I will say, I don't care what you think of Orange Cassidy. Whenever I see him doing these moves, dives out of the ring, dives off the top rope, hands in his pockets, it's stupid to even take that risk, but it's impressive. And one of these days, it's probably going to end badly for him, but it's impressive to see people doing a kip up and doing a dive through the ropes, hands in your pockets. Your instinct is to put your hands out to break your fall. So he does a dive. People are going nuts. Back inside, strong zero to John Silver by Chucky and Trent for the win. This was all comedy, pretty much. Orange Cassidy was over, so the fans got what they wanted. Then we had Chris Jericho, the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Chris Jericho out for the contract signing with him and Cody. He comes out, he's wearing a purple jacket with jack-o'-lanterns all over it. He's got jack-o'-lanterns all over it. I mean, nobody else could get away with wearing a jacket like this, except for Chris Jericho. So he comes at, on him, it looks normal. On anybody else, it would look completely ridiculous. On him, though, it's like, okay, well, you know, hey, it's Jericho, so what do you expect? What else do you expect him to wear, other than what he was wearing? So he comes out. They had a table set up on stage for this, not in the ring. Tony Schiavone was the MC. They had this lady, they called her the general counsel for AEW, there to oversee the signing. This was all very formal. They added the stipulation the other day that should this match go to a 60-minute time limit draw, they will have a panel of judges who have not yet been announced, but they will have a panel of judges, and hopefully Jason Hervey, or Harvey, whatever the fuck his name is, isn't one of them. Wasn't he one of the judges for the Flair and Sting match, Clash of the Champions in 88? I'm pretty sure Jason Hervey was there. Is it Hervey, Harvey? I don't remember. Somebody in the chat will correct me if I'm wrong. The point is, there's no way this match is going an hour. Chris Jericho in 2019 is not wrestling an hour-long match. Uh-uh. It ain't happening. So whoever these judges are, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. They signed the contract. They got up in each other's faces. Jericho said, hey, look, you and I, you know, we're both professionals. He reached his hand out for a handshake. Cody accepted. Then we see Sammy Guevara. He pops up on the screen. And in the background, they're in the parking lot, we see Jake Hager beating up Dustin Rhodes. Yes, he gave Dustin a knee to the balls to play off the accidental low blow that ended Hager's Bellator fight last week. I mean, how could they not? I said this on the podcast this weekend. I said it would almost, it would be pro wrestling malpractice as a heel for him not to incorporate that into his moveset. So then he slams Dustin's head into the side of the limo, which dented the car, closed the limo door on Dustin's arm or his hand, one or the other. Dustin was writhing around in agony. Jericho suddenly showed up smoking a cigar. He lights up a stogie. He's looking at the situation. He's got a big fat smile on his face. And Jericho just goes, "His arm looks pretty bad. You might want to take him to the hospital." Then he starts cackling. He says, "Happy Halloween." And he gets in the, whatever it was, the Hummer, the limo, whatever the vehicle was there, the Inner Circle, and they take off. I thought, first of all, Jericho's great in this role. He really is. He's perfect in this role. And, you know, I thought that this segment was fine. It adds heat to the match between Cody and Jericho at the pay-per-view. And, you know, it was a little bit of a different spin on the contract signing, and that they did it on the stage and not in the ring. It's kind of like last year. They had a contract signing on SmackDown for the WWE Championship between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. And the difference here is that they had a contract signing not in front of the crowd. They had it in the back. Just a subtle little change. That was the one where Nakamura was yawning and, you know, he's playing around with the pen. And I thought it was great. It was just a different spin on an old, tired gimmick in wrestling. And it worked. So this felt a little bit different to me. They're using Dustin, obviously, to, you know, get sympathy. Poor Dustin, now he's going to get his ass kicked. He gets his ass kicked enough times, he may turn on his brother. The way things are going, you never know. What's going on, everybody in the chat? Take a moment here to thank everybody who is tuning in live. And I appreciate the hell out of each and every one of you, as I do everybody who has either subscribed to the channel so far tonight or made a pay Super Chat donation. I do appreciate all of you. You see the phone number on the screen. We are going to take your calls here in just a little bit, FYI. So there's the number on the screen for those of you who wish to try calling in, 989-282-SOLO. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against Kip Sabian, Jack Evans, and Angelico. We had Megalovania playing for the Undertale video that played here before Omega's entrance. And for those of you listening to this thinking, holy shit, Solomonster, I didn't know you knew Megalovania and Undertale. This is so cool. Well, I don't. I was briefed on this by a friend because I absolutely had no idea what any of this was, and I was texting with somebody and they explained it to me. And look, when you don't know, what do? You ask questions. You don't guess. You do your homework. You ask questions. You try to get answers to the tough questions. So that's what I was told. I guess that music is from the soundtrack for the game, right? It's from the Undertale soundtrack that was playing here before Omega's entrance. It's like a role-playing game. Sans is apparently a major character from the game, and that's who Omega came out dressed up as for Halloween. At first, he came out with that mask on, and I just took a quick glance, like I turned my head, and I saw what he was wearing, and I said, "Is he dressed up as DJ Marshmello?" And then I looked, I said, "No, he's not Marshmello. He's not the Marshmello Man. He's this character, Sans." Jonathan Bordeaux, thank you for the $2 Super Chat. World Series score update, Nats up 3-2. Holy shit. I am missing a hell of a game here. So the Nationals are up on the Astros. Shit. Well, if I actually cared about either team, I'd be more upset about that, but I really don't. Jose N01, thank you for the $5 Super Chat. Jason, can you grow a beard and put some shades on? I want to see something. Well, you already saw it tonight. You saw the shades. You saw the beard. Come on, brother. And we're getting some. We're getting a whole bunch of new subs tonight, which is awesome. And Casey is Raw. Thank you for the $2 Super Chat. Appreciate that. My Super Chat weekly AEW rating, he says, is 8 out of 10. I think that's fair. Maybe 7.5. Tough audience to please. I see a lot of wrestling in a given week. Takes a lot to impress me. Young Bucks came out. They were dressed up as Street Fighter characters, Ken and Ryu. See, now, Ken and Ryu, I know. Street Fighter goes back to my days. Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I was all about that shit back in the day. I was pretty good at it, too. Probably wouldn't know what I was doing if I tried playing it now. But they were dressed as Ken. See, Ken and Ryu, I know. Blanca. I used to be Blanca. I would electrocute the shit out of people. Let's see, who else? We had Chun-Li, M. Bison, Zangief, who I still believe Rusev could absolutely play if they ever made another Street Fighter movie. So Kip Sabian, he cuts off the Rise of the Terminator dive by Omega. Tries for one of his own. He's mocking Kenny Omega. Omega and the Bucks, though, when he dives out of the ring, they catch him on the outside. They drop Sabian right on the edge of the ring apron with a power bomb. And as you all know, I'll remind you, in case you forgot, that the ring apron is, in fact, the hardest part of the ring. Now you know. Triple super kick to Jack Evans. V-trigger knee to Evans and the one-winged angel. Pretty good one, too. By Omega for the win. After the match, the Bucks, they go to celebrate with Rick and Morty at ringside. But it turns out it's Santana and Ortiz under masks. And they attack the Bucks. We get angry Jim Ross again on commentary. He calls them pieces of trash. Get that garbage out of here. He said that about Santana and Ortiz. Get that garbage out of here. Regis Rodriguez, thank you for the $5 super chat. So Jim Ross was kind of like in podcast form tonight. He was in rare form. He was in no mood. Casey is raw. Thank you. $5 super chat. Solomonster, I have an idea for you. You should tell AEW that you could be Orange Cassidy's manager. And you could do the switch with Orange in the ring. I don't think they can meet my price tag. Tony Khan's going to have to bust out the big bucks if he wants that. I don't think they could afford me. See the number on your screen, 989-282-SOLO-7656. We're going to jump to the phone calls here in just a minute. Out comes the librarian, Peter Avalon with Leva Bates. This librarian gimmick is just death whenever it comes on my TV. But thankfully, John Moxley came out to save us. Paradigm shift to Avalon. That got loud chants of Moxley from the fans. He became the biggest babyface in the company upon beating down the librarian. And then there are people are going to say, well, isn't that evidence that the librarian gimmick is good? It's a good gimmick for heel heat? Maybe. But it's still fucking boring. It's a fucking librarian. What else do you expect? It's a bore. I don't like it. So then we get a Moxley promo. He is in no mood. He says AEW can take its win-loss records and stick them straight up their ass. You want unsanctioned. He's very upset about this unsanctioned match he has now with Kenny Omega, which I don't quite understand because it's almost like he's obsessed with the whole win-loss aspect of it, which I guess in a way is kind of cool that he cares that much about it, but you would think a guy like Moxley would embrace the idea of a lights-out match. It's right up his alley, and he seemed very upset about this. He says, you want unsanctioned? Be careful what you wish for. We're going to see glorious wrestling violence like we've never seen before in many years. He tells the company, he tells Kenny Omega, he tells everybody to kiss my ass and stay the hell out of my way. This was the Jon Moxley promo that I've been waiting for. It's been a while since we've gotten a good Moxley promo like this. So, Hale, thank you for the $20 super chat. It will not allow me to do exactly 20 bucks, he says, so I owe you a penny. Yes, it's a $19.99 super chat. Don't worry about the penny. It's all good. So this promo was something that I think was sorely needed on this show. We haven't gotten a lot of promo segments, aside from that Jericho Inner Circle promo a few weeks ago. So again, this is good. This is good. We need more of this. A lot of the stuff we've seen is on YouTube. And that's fine. I mean, you can put stuff like that on YouTube, but you've got to have some of that on the show as well. And we definitely had more of that tonight. Brian, thank you for the $3 super chat. Kenny Omega over WWE Creative. What, are you kidding me? I got a fucking Poland Spring bottle here. Poland Spring bottle over WWE Creative. You're setting a very low bar. And then it was time for our main event. Final match of the evening. Final match of the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament to crown new champions. The Lucha Brothers, Pentagon and Phoenix, against Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Representing SCU, Chris Daniels, doing a storyline injury. Pinch nerve. So he is not around at the moment. Kazarian took a nasty bump. There was a Hurricane Rana attempt. He was doing a Rana off the top rope onto the ring apron. I believe he was doing it to Phoenix, although I could be wrong. And he smacked the back of his head on the ring apron. You could hear the thud of his bald head hitting the either the apron or the edge of the apron on the way down. He immediately grabbed his head. I didn't know if he was concussed. He might have been. It's very possible that he was concussed. And for his sake, I certainly hope that wasn't the case, but that was nasty. So this was all action. I mean, again, it's a Lucha Bros match. So there's a lot of crazy dives, a lot of crazy stuff, mostly from Phoenix, who is a lot of fun to watch. And I was thinking about this before. I mean, we've seen a lot of very dynamic performers in wrestling. Yeah, there's a good number of them. Ricochet, I'd throw Ricochet in there. Will Ospreay, I'd put him in that category. Phoenix is a special type where I think when you think of kind of who fits the mold of a modern-day Rey Mysterio, I mean, in a way, nobody does because Rey Mysterio was just such a... he really wasn't. In a lot of ways, he was an innovator. There was never anybody like him until he came along, and he opened a lot of eyes as far as the smaller wrestlers are concerned. But he was an incredible athlete, and he would do all of these spectacular moves and dives and ranas. And Phoenix really does remind me of that sort of modern-day Rey Mysterio. The things that this guy does, all the unnecessary risks, but just the moves and the things that he's able to do, very few people can do what he does. It's a lot of fun to watch him. You kind of wince every now and then. You clench your teeth. You hope that he's not going to kill himself. But there really is nobody like Phoenix, I think, anywhere right now in wrestling. So he was all over the place in this match. Scorpio Sky's in there. He is fighting for all he's got. And there was a package pile driver double stomp combo attempt by the Lucha Bros that got countered. And Scorpio Sky cradles Pentagon and gets the three count. And SCU become the first ever AEW Tag Team Champions. The match went just under 13 minutes. I don't want to sit here and say that it was a bad match, because that wouldn't be fair to these guys. And I had the Lucha Bros pegged to win after my my original pick, the Luchasaurus, went down with an injury. So I figured this is an easy win here for the Lucha Bros. And they didn't win. And I'm not upset that my pick lost, but, and you guys chime in too if you felt this way, it just felt very anticlimactic to me, and even the length of the match. I don't know if maybe some of the earlier segments, the contract signing maybe, you know, ran long. This is the finals of your tag team title tournament, and you give them 12 minutes? Seems kind of strange to me. Am I the only one who feels this way? I thought the match was good. Maybe even very good, but it never reached that level of... It never really reached that level of being like a classic tournament final or, you know, anything like that. And I had higher expectations, honestly, for what this match was going to be. So, I don't know. I feel kind of strange about this match and that I liked it, but I felt like it was just... There was more that could have been done. And it could have gone a little bit longer. Maybe they could have cut some of the stuff out earlier in the show that they did. So that aspect of it was kind of disappointing. So I know we've got some buffering issues going on again. So before I start taking phone calls, I better make sure that this is all taken care of. You know what I may have to do, honestly? I don't know if I could do it right now while I'm live. Well, I could try. I wonder if it would help. Let's see something here. If I were just to lower the resolution on some of this stuff, maybe that would help out. Because I don't want to take time out here just to kind of investigate what the hell's going on here. But maybe Yeah, I don't want to really start changing things though. Let's just give it a second. Hopefully it'll resolve itself. So I know only some people are experiencing that. I apologize. Not everybody is, but I want everybody to be able to hear what's going on here. Pisses me off when people are having problems. So hopefully this will be resolved here in a second. I'm gonna have to tweak some settings in the future just to make sure we don't have this problem again. That's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do. Casey is raw. Thank you again. $5 super chat. Hey, Orange, he says, do you think with AEW and NWA merging out of nowhere, this is more of a boom than Jeff Jarrett's? Yeah, people still talk about Jeff Jarrett and that wrestling boom, don't they? Yeah, they do. I don't think they're ever gonna let that go. JJ Smith in the chat, Duff's Vids in the chat. Please let me know if you guys can hear me now. As I take a sip of my better than WWE creative Poland Spring. I can't even see the screen with the baseball game to see what the score is. If the Nats are still up, the Astros took the lead. Somebody in the chat, let me know what the baseball game is doing. Buffering 2 Podcast Boogaloo. Yeah, you want to rename it, huh? Smartass. I kid you guys. I'm getting tired of these roll-up pinfall victories. Yeah, you know, I have to agree with that. The fact that this thing ended, this tournament ended on a cradle, that also kind of irked me a little bit because we see so many of these roll-ups and schoolboys and small packages. I didn't expect this tournament to end on a friggin' roll-up like that or a cradle, you know, whatever it was. So that was also kind of disappointing. Yeah. I don't know, that finish left something to be desired. It was a surprising finish. The crowd booed. You could hear boos from part of the crowd too when SCU won, which was maybe not the reaction that they were hoping for. Let's check the Twitter poll before we get to your calls. Again, you can vote in the Twitter poll right now. @Solomonster is my handle on Twitter. If you guys want to chime in and make your voices heard, thumbs up, thumbs down. Poll is up. And these are the results as of, I guess, just a few moments ago, as I wait for this poll to load up here. Is it showing on the screen? I don't know if it's showing on the screen or not. Let me bring the poll up over here. Oh, technology is a lovely thing. So we already have a whole bunch of votes in our poll, almost 1,500 votes so far. And the outcome, oh, you know what it is? I know why. I know why it's not showing you the results. I have to vote. Oh, you guys are going to get to watch me vote here in real time. Let's vote in the poll so the results will show here on the screen. You can see it says on the screen right now almost 1,500 votes. But I have to actually vote in my own poll. And I'm going to give this show, I mean, I don't see how this show is anything but a thumbs up. And it's not going to let me. I'm not logged into Twitter. Well, I'm certainly not going to log in. So you guys are going to have to take you're going to have to take my word for it. Poll results: 81% thumbs up, 19% thumbs down. 81 up, 19 down. Overwhelmingly, you know what? 81 up, 19 down is the inverse, I think, of what Raw did this week. Yeah, if you go back on my Twitter and check the Raw poll, I think it's about 19 down, 81 up, or 19 up, 81 down, rather. So that's quite the, yeah, that's quite the indictment of Monday Night Raw. So let's take some of your phone calls. We'll come back to that poll after. You know, you have your checklist of things to do before you go live, and you mark off all the little boxes. Levels are set. This is all set. All right, we're gonna have a good show, and then you forget to log into your frickin' Twitter account so that the poll results will show. But hey. Shit happens. What are you going to do? That's why I got my phone next to me. So if you guys want to call in, I'm going to put the number back up on the screen. 989-282-SOLO. Let me know what you thought if you tuned into Dynamite tonight. I want to hear your thoughts. Christian Harper, thank you very much for the $5 super chat. Was in attendance tonight. Good show. Sans the goofy stuff, he says. Best friends in Cassidy are just awful. Take this. More seriously, more Cody, more Jericho, and more Moxley. So that comes from Christian. Let's go to Bridgeport, Connecticut. Bridgeport, you are on the air.
Hi, hey, thank you for taking my call, Solid Monster.
Thank you for calling in.
So, yeah, I watched the show, and I thought it was good. Not really sure how I felt about the ending. Kind of biased here, because given that I'm like Hispanic, I was going for the Lucha Bros. I was watching it with my dad, and then SCU won. It was kind of pretty lackluster. Just overall, I thought, and you could tell that the show was, the fans were really quiet after that. Like, they were kind of expecting Lucha Brothers to win. So I just thought that was a little disappointing, and I thought they would have maybe given a more exciting ending to the show, since they kind of dropped the ball last week as well. But that's just my thoughts.
All right, yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair observation. And thank you for calling in. We have a whole bunch. I want to get to as many as I can here. So let's go to, I believe we have Patricia in Brooklyn, New York. You are on the air.
It's actually Tamara using my aunt's phone, but oh. I am calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, yeah. What's going on? What'd you think of the show
but
tonight?
I really like the show, but I didn't really have like a comment. Well, besides the small package thing, that was really annoying, like you said. But I didn't really have a comment. I had more so like a question. So the judges, they're going to have judges for the match with Cody and Jericho. Do you think that they should, because I don't know if that's necessarily hinting to that it's going to go to a decision. I don't think that it is. But if it were, is that something that you want to see?
If it were to go, you mean if it were to go the distance, to go the full 60 minutes?
Exactly.
Me personally, no. I mean, you could always have a good 60 minute match. I don't know that it needs to go that long, honestly. I don't think it has to go that long. I don't think it will go that long. I think whoever it is, if it's celebrities, I assume it's going to be wrestlers, let's say legends that they trot out there. So I think it's, and thank you for the call, by the way, but I think it's a good way to just get some legends on the show, and they wave and they sit there at ringside, and you know, maybe, to me, it would be too predictable. I like the idea that AEW has time limits. They mention them every single week. That way it becomes part of the norm. And after a while, if you have a match that goes 30 minutes to a draw, 60 minutes to a draw, it doesn't kind of give the finish away. I feel like here, by announcing the judges, it would almost be too obvious for them to go 60 minutes. So I wouldn't do it. I don't think they have to do it. I don't think the match has to go that long. Let's go to another New York caller, this one from Albany. You are on the air.
How you doing, Solid Monster?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I can't complain. I thought the show was all right this evening. I actually did have a question, though. How do you feel about if you did happen to see the little intro before Kenny Omega's entrance this evening? How do you feel about them taking pot shots at New Japan and Kota Ibushi?
Well, what was the exact comment that they made?
They were talking about, like, it kind of seemed like they were trying to imply that, like, during contract negotiations, I guess, that, like, all Kenny's friends and whatnot, like, left him in the dark and were, like, leaving. And they basically kind of implied that, like, they were kind of keeping Kota hostage, I guess, or something to that effect. I mean, they definitely made New Japan look like the heel in that little segment there. And I'm kind of torn between it, because I know, like, there's a lot of people who have been kind of just talking about how they are hoping that there is a little bit of a relationship there between AEW and New Japan. And in my opinion, I think that's a pretty bad idea to be taking kind of some shots like that if they're hoping to forge some kind of a relationship, but you never know.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even really pick up on all that, and that's disappointing to hear. I think at some point next year, there's got to be some kind of an agreement that these two companies can come to. It just makes too much sense to me for them not to work together. And so if they're taking pot shots and cheap shots at each other, that's a bad sign, and that sucks. I think that's terrible. Because I think both sides have a lot to be gained by working together, and you can get some New Japan talent maybe on TNT. And New Japan could still have access to some AEW talent for big shows. So I guess maybe there's bad blood that's stemming now from when the Bucks left and Kenny left. Get over it. Get over it. They need to be working together. This is a natural working relationship between these two companies. Enough with the pot shots, enough with the bullshit, enough with the, you know, anything, any of the juvenile comments or the hissy fits. They need to come together and do business together. Because a working relationship between the two companies makes all the sense in the world. Minneapolis, you are on the air.
Yo.
What's going on?
Hey. So, I'm willing to say that I am in the 19% when it comes to this new AEW show. I feel it's got a lot of kind of unfunny comedy and screwy finishes that we kind of criticize WWE over.
Like what?
We had the whole the Halloween scene with the Rick and Morty and stuff like that. It just kind of feels like if I was going to write a stereotypical millennial, air quotes, I hate saying that crap, wrestling, it kind of feels like it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, in my case, I guess other people, maybe in my case, I made it clear tonight that I was not a fan of the Rick and Morty stuff. So at least in my case, that was probably one of my least favorite parts of the show. And look, there have been crossovers that WWE has done that
I didn't like those either.
Yeah. Well, but like there have been crossovers that WWE has done that I'm sure they just did to, you know, please USA Network. They used to have people from USA Network shows come on, the guys from like Good versus Evil, and they would show up and it would be lame comedy crap. It was obvious they just were there because they had to be there. I don't like stuff like that. I like it if you have a celebrity who maybe is a wrestling fan or they're a really big name that's hip to how this all works. And they, I mean, like Tyson and Mayweather, they kind of fit in there. The Rick and Morty stuff, obviously, it's a Warner property, I believe, right? It's Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, that's all Turner. And I guess the show is premiering in November. I don't know what the date is, so that's why they did it. Whatever, it was goofy Halloween shit. It didn't bother me too much, but I flipped over to NXT when the Best Friends came out dressed up as Rick and Morty. I said, let's go see what's going on USA. And I saw Asuka and Kairi Sane, and had they not gone to commercial, I probably would have stuck with NXT for a while.
It just feels like when those corporations, and they go on their Twitter and start posting internet memes and stuff, be down with the kids, don't you love us?
Yeah. Yeah, but like, if I said to you, you said you're more in the 19% camp. I mean, that goes beyond Rick and Morty. I mean, to give the show a thumbs down, you had to have hated most of what you saw on the show. Would you say that you hated most of what they had on the show tonight?
I wouldn't say I hated it. I would say that for the buildup of the pay-per-view, there was just so many strange things, like Cody's really long kind of awkward promo in the limo at the Awesome Con video segment, which is the only video packages the women have really gotten so far. It just, I don't want to say vanity project, but it just feels kind of strange to me. I don't want to dump on the new company, but I feel that the honeymoon period's kind of wearing off.
Okay. Well, I mean, the honeymoon period ain't going to last forever. And as time goes on, more people are going to start to criticize little aspects of the show. I would hardly consider, look, I would hardly consider this a thumbs down show. I think you have a valid point, but I don't think that justifies giving it a thumbs down. But hey, to each their own. Let's go to, let's try Mount Vernon, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hello?
Mount Vernon, are you there? And you are not there, so let's move on. Let's go to, we got another Brooklyn, New York. Another Brooklynite, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason.
Who is this?
Hey, it's Jose Inoa.
Oh, hey, Jose. Thank you for all the super chats tonight.
No worries, brother. Just two quick things. Could we all agree that Orange Cassidy is way more over than Seth Rollins? And also, do you think since...
Dan, don't you know, Jose, that you are part of the problem, that you are not giving Seth Rollins the respect that he feels he deserves. I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently Seth Rollins went on Corey Graves' new podcast, which I'm sure is, you know, Corey Graves was building it up like, I might get fired. I'm sure it was such a controversial podcast. I heard that Seth Rollins went on there and he complained about the fickle fans, and the fans can definitely be fickle. I'm not saying they're not, but he complained about the fickle fans not paying him the respect that he deserves. He feels disrespected.
Well, he has to earn it.
Well, he feels he has. Right? He goes out there and he puts his life on the line. And apparently the fans are not giving him the respect that he feels he's earned.
Well, every time he opens his mouth on social media, something different. But in any case, and then really quickly, Jason, since we saw that interaction with Moxley and Tony Khan, do you feel we'll see eventually Tony Khan as an on-screen character?
No, I don't. I think he's been asked about that before, and his answer was always no. I think you may see him if there's like some special ceremony, maybe like an angle they're shooting, he might show up and wave. But him being a character on the show, I take him at his word. He's got a lot on his plate. He's got a soccer team or a football team or something. He doesn't need to be an on-screen character. I don't think we're going to see it.
Okay. Thank you. You're the best, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate all the support.
No worries.
All right. Take care. I'm glad Jose called in. I'm glad I got him on here. Let's take a few more. We got a whole bunch of New York people. I want to get some other states in here. Otherwise, people are going to think I'm being biased towards New York. Let's try Erie here on Halloween Eve. Hello. We have Erie, Pennsylvania.
From one Jason to another, happy Halloween, Tulsa Monster.
Happy Halloween, sir.
I just wanted to ask you, what were your thoughts on the AEW tag belts? Do you like the looks of them or not? And also, were they lined like snakeskin or something? Because I saw the inside of those belts, they look like snakeskin. Just my opinion.
It's possible. I didn't get a good look at the inside of them. But if they were snakeskin, look, I always loved the Smoking Skull belt, and they had snakeskin backing on that belt. So if it was, I think that's pretty badass. I think they look fine. Yeah, I don't hate them. I think they look better than the Raw tag team titles and the SmackDown tag team titles, if that's any comparison. So I think they're fine. I don't go gaga over them, but I like them. Let's try Pensacola. Pensacola, Florida, the home of the big dog. Woof, woof. Roman Reigns, you're on the air.
Hey, Solid Monster. This is the Holiday Christopher Mace. My question for you today is, with Rock and Roll Express being on AEW, do you see some point them having a working relationship with NWA, since Rock and Roll Express is also part of the NWA relaunch right now?
I don't think that the Rock and Rolls are going to really have anything to do. If there's going to be a working relationship, I don't think the Rock and Roll Express necessarily will have anything to do with it. I did an interview with Dave Lagana a few weeks ago, and I was talking to him about this and even off the air, and he's open to, you know, whatever. I mean, he's open to working with all companies except one, except Impact. There's a little bit of bad blood there with him and with Billy Corgan. But other than Impact, they sound open to working with any and all companies. So if the NWA wants to do business with them, if they can come to some kind of agreement, and maybe Nick Aldis shows up one week on Dynamite to defend the NWA title or something, I think that, yeah, I think they would be open to it. I think the ball would be in Tony Khan's court and AEW, but... you know, Lagana said they're open to talking to pretty much anybody except my sense of it being Impact. Let's try Chattanooga, Tennessee. You are on the air.
Hey, Solo Monster. This is me, James Vaughn. How you doing?
I'm doing well, James. How are you?
Doing good, man. Happy Halloween, by the way.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, I thought AEW was a good show too. I enjoyed the Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes contract signing. I thought the main event I thought it was okay, but the end of it was kind of like, you got to be kidding me. I think we might see a rematch for that tag team rematch probably be on the pay-per-view. I want to ask you this, Solo Monster, what is What's your favorite Halloween movie?
What is my favorite of like in general or of the Halloween series?
I just, yeah, like I guess Halloween series, you know. Just,
well, I mean, for me, it's got to be the original. Absolutely. The original movie, 1978, John Carpenter, Deborah Hill, independently made movie, was not backed by a big movie studio, did not have a big budget, shot it in pretty, I think they shot it in pretty quick time too, and independently the movie made what, $50 million I think? And they created a whole franchise, and here we are 40 years later, and they're still making Halloween movies. This new Halloween movie that came out last year made like a gazillion dollars. They got two more in the pipeline with Jamie Lee Curtis coming out in the next 2 years. I'd say that's pretty good. Of all the actual Halloween movies, the original can't be beat. You can't top the original. And this might cause some controversy with people, but if you were to ask me, okay, well, the original's a given. Original's the best. So what would you say is the second best of the Halloween movies? And my honest answer is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which had absolutely nothing to do with Michael Myers and pissed a lot of people off, pissed me off when I was younger. I'm like, where's Michael? This is bullshit. And as the years have gone on and as I've gotten older and as I've watched the movie, I have really warmed to this movie. And I appreciate it for what it is. I appreciate the practical effects and not this CGI shit. Not that CGI can't be good, I just think there's an over-reliance on it in a lot of movies. I really like Halloween 3, and I really think if people would just give it a chance and watch the movie, if they hate on it, give it a chance, watch the movie, I think people would come around to the same idea that I came around to, which is that this is a pretty good freaking horror movie. So I would say Halloween and Halloween 3. And you can fight me on it all you want to. She's not going to change my mind. That's a good question. Got a Halloween-themed question. Let's take a few more calls and we'll wrap it up. Let's go to the home of the NWA. In fact, Atlanta, GA, you are on the air.
Hey, Solar Monster. This is Soldier of Fortune, Umercon from Framingham, Massachusetts.
Soldier of Fortune, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Stand down, soldier. What's your question?
So, I think I liked today's episode more than any other episode, because they focus more on promos. I mean, this today's promo by Adam Page got me to like him more than anything else they've done so far.
Yeah, the Adam Page. Well, the Adam Page promo at the beginning of the show, it was just straight to the point. He won his match. He got on the mic. He said a bad word, and of course everybody cheered. He said cowboy shit, right. And that was it. And he left. Short and to the point.
Exactly. Same thing with Moxley. I think his promo today was better than anything he's done in WWE in months or even years, his last run, after all the feud with Seth Rollins after he turned heel at the time. After that, today's Moxley promo was like better than whatever he's done in WWE. But on that point, I hope AEW now starts doing more promos. Because I was watching NWA Power last week, and in years, I've never like jumped off my seat on a hot tag in many, many years. And that hot tag to Eli Drake last week, it really just made me so excited. And I was like, man, this excitement is missing from wrestling. And I think their promos has got a lot to do with that. What do you think?
On the NWA Power show?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but yeah, I agree 100%, and that's why I'm sticking with it. I'm going to be reviewing episode 4 on the show this Sunday. I've got a lot of thoughts on that, so you can tune in if you want to know my thoughts on the NWA stuff. That show is being entirely carried right now on the strength of its promos. Nobody is watching the NWA yet for great matches, because there have been none. There have been some good matches, but nobody... If you want to watch a long, great 15, 20-minute back-and-forth wrestling match, you're not going to find that so far on any of these NWA shows. There's so much other wrestling on TV. You can find that on Raw. You can find that on Monday Night Raw. Drew McIntyre and Ricochet had a hell of a match on Monday Night. One of the few, great points about that show. Must See TV, thank you for the Canadian $6.99 Super Chat. Appreciate it. But you can watch Raw. You can watch AEW. You can watch SmackDown on some weeks. You could probably watch Impact. You could probably watch MLW. You could certainly watch NXT. There's a lot of great wrestling matches to go around. The strength of the NWA, besides the nostalgia, is the personalities and the promos. That's really what is carrying this show so far. And my hope is that as we get closer to this December 14th pay-per-view, back in studio, that they're going to be doing live, it's going to be airing on Fight TV, maybe on the pay-per-view, everything is building to at least a few longer matches that we can say, oh, wow, that was actually a really great match. That was a great, 15-minute tag team match. Or a great 20-minute NWA World's Heavyweight Championship match. But these shows so far, the goal of these shows is to get you familiar with who these characters are. Who the hell is Josephus? Who the hell is Ricky Starks? Hey, it's Trevor Murdoch. Why should I give a shit? Well, if you follow the stories that are going on, Trevor Murdoch, he'll do anything to get a contract. He wants to get back in the game. He wants to win a contract. Okay, so that's his story. Tim Storm, 54 years old, can never again challenge for the NWA Championship. So sad, right? You feel sympathy for the guy. Where is his story going? How does his story arc play out? He may be the most sympathetic babyface in all of wrestling. I'll tell you one thing, he's a hell of a lot more sympathetic than Seth frickin' Rollins is right now. So that show is being almost entirely carried on the personalities and the stories and the promos. And at some point, I would hope, we start to, get some great wrestling on that show as well. But that's not why you watch the NWA show at this point. Let's go to area code 980. You are on the air.
Hi, Saul Monster.
What's going on, my friend?
I thought overall tonight was a very good show. My question has to do with the upcoming pay-per-view for AEW, Full Gear.
Mm-hmm.
So far, there's only been like four matches that's been announced. How do you see the card shaping up? What do you think is going to be on Full Gear?
Well, I mean, we know Cody and Jericho. We know Santana and Ortiz against the Bucks. We know Pac and Adam Page. We know Omega and Moxley. So those are the four key matches right there. After what happened tonight, wouldn't shock me to see a rematch for the tag team titles, Lucha Bros against SCU. Why not? They weren't beaten decisively. You got them on a friggin' roll-up. I think a rematch would make sense there. Jake Hager and Dustin Rhodes, it seems like that probably will end up being a match as well. And then you fill out the undercard with guys like Darby Allin and, maybe Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends do something. That almost doesn't even matter. Riho, right? You would think Riho would defend her women's championship. And you turn around and you've got yourself a full card. Seven or eight matches is a full card. We don't need a four-hour pay-per-view like WWE gives us. So that's pretty much how I see the card shaping out. Orlando, Florida, you are on the air. Orlando, going once. I would hate to hang up on Orlando. He's been on for an hour and 14 minutes. Going once. Going twice. I'm sorry to Orlando. Pains me to do it, but we got to move on. Cleveland, Ohio, you are on the air.
Hi, Solomon Monster. I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I just had a question. What you thought about John Moxley's promo? I thought it was so awesome. His delivery, the passion he had while delivering it, and just what you thought about him commenting about how he's being typecast as like this freak show, and his match is not going to matter if he beats Kenny Omega. What do you think about the storytelling with that?
I like it. I mean, Moxley is a little weird, so I think playing off that and the fact that people think he's a weird guy makes sense. We also know that his history is in violent death matches and hardcore matches, so they're going to play to his strength, which I think makes sense. Moxley, he'll use thumbtacks and tables and chairs. I thought it was smart for them to just almost just come right out and tell all of you that this match with him and Omega at the pay-per-view is going to be a bloodbath. I mean, I don't know if there'll be blood or not, but that's what they want you to believe. This is going to be a very violent match. It's non-sanctioned. Anything goes. There are no rules. They can use any weapon they want to. They can use a freaking chainsaw if they want to. I wouldn't advise that. But I like the fire out of Moxley. I mean, think about it. The promo he cut was very basic. He didn't really have a lot to say, but he said it. It only took a few minutes. He got his point across. He was all fired up. He had great intensity. The crowd ate it up. He got his line in there at the end about, kiss my ass, and he left. So I liked it. I thought it was very effective. Let's go to New York, area code 347. You're on the air.
Hey, how you going? How you doing, Tom Monster? I just want to get your response to this. I think that they're having a major time management problem backstage. Like, it seemed like, I know everyone loved the Moxley promo. I thought it seemed like he ran out there as fast as he could and he got the promo out as fast as he could. And I thought the same thing about the main event, that all the wrestlers were just rushing through their spots to get to a finish so they didn't go off the air.
Yeah, I felt that same way, honestly. And I said this earlier, it just 12 minutes in the main event, that match needed more than 12 minutes. And I understand, like, Pentagon and Phoenix, a lot of the time it's rapid-fire shit. You know, they don't always take the time to sell and do rest holds. But this is the finals of your tournament that's been playing itself out now for, what, 4 weeks? You give these guys 12 minutes and it ends on a cradle? I don't know if that was because they were running low on time or if that was the original idea. If that was the original idea, I think it was a bad idea. They could have slowed things down a little bit. That match could have gotten at least another 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And I certainly wouldn't have done a roll-up finish, but maybe story-wise that's going to lead to something, so we'll let it play out, as long as they don't make a habit out of it. But yeah, I agree. It did feel rushed, and I was very surprised that they didn't give that match more time in the main event. But I wonder if time management was an issue, like you said, and maybe the contract signing or some of the segments earlier in the night ran longer than they had originally intended. Let's go to area code 718. Another New Yorker here on the line.
Yeah, it's me again. Hi, Dave, and thanks for taking my call again. Hello?
I can hear you. I dropped you there for a second, but I got you back now. What's your question?
There we go. Okay, cool. It's not really a question. I wanted to address a point that another caller made.
Sure.
He was speaking about WWE doing certain things and being criticized, and then AEW doing it, and then I guess because of the honeymoon phase, they get a pass. And that might be true in some respects, but I definitely don't think that that's true. Like, I know in the Facebook group, some people complain that when DDP came out, everybody popped for it. They thought it was good. But when WWE brings out old-time guys, you get criticized. But I'm a believer in it's not what you do, it's how you do it. WWE gets criticized because of their execution, I don't think that they get... I mean, it's true that they get criticized just for no reason sometimes, but it's definitely not the same.
Okay, no, fair point. I think that's a fair point. I can't really disagree with that. Let's go to Garden City. Oh my God, another New Yorker. It's like the invasion of the New Yorkers here. Garden City, you're on the line. Area code 516. Long Island. Long Islander on the line.
Melville or Jason?
What's going on?
How you doing? Suffolk County. Well, 9 years. Listen to your podcast every Sunday. Thank you for everything you do. I think Stone Cold would be proud of John Moxley's promo tonight. I think that's what he wanted out of the podcast from 5 years ago when he got pissed at him. And I come home, I watch AEW, and I'm a huge baseball fan, and I'm a huge WWE fan. I'm just sick of the product, and I just want to say that I have no reason to turn this channel. It's so refreshing. I think we're the same age, Jason, about 35, 36. Say, just It's just so refreshing to see something different. Orange Cassidy, whatever. It's just so refreshing to see something different on television. That's all. That's all I got to say, man. And I think Halloween 5, Chris and Michael Myers, is underrated Paul Rudd. That's all I got to say.
I was hoping you weren't going to throw Paul Rudd at me. I don't want to throw Paul Rudd under the bus, just because it's funny you bring him up. There's a new show on Netflix called, Living with Myself or Fighting with Myself. I forgot the name of it. But basically, I'll give you the quick premise here and then we'll move on. But he has a wife. His life is just kind of shit. He's not happy with his life. He's very depressed. He gets a tip about going to a spa. It changed his friend's life. Now, what do you expect when you go to a spa? Do I really need to say it? See, he goes to a spa. He doesn't get a rub and tug, though. He goes in there, and he ends up where they cloned him. And the whole premise of the show is that there's this clone now, has the same memories, the same life experiences as him, and they have to find a way to coexist and live together without killing each other. I actually thought it was a good show. I really enjoyed it. I hope they renew it and bring it back for a second season. So, I don't hate Paul Rudd, but I hate that movie. That is probably, I can't say it's my least favorite of the Halloween movies, but if it's not my least favorite, it's probably bottom two or three. And it didn't really have any, it's not Paul Rudd's fault. I just did not like that movie at all. And that wasn't Halloween 5, that was Halloween 6. Because Halloween 4 and 5 had Jamie Lloyd. Who played her? Oh my goodness, the actress. One of my favorite actresses. Forgot her name. But yeah, that was Halloween 6. Not a fan of that at all. If you want to know what my least favorite Halloween was, whichever one had fucking Busta Rhymes in it, ugh. Don't even get me started. Let's take two more. Let's go to Oklahoma City. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Fall Monster?
What's going on?
Hey, I had a quick question, man. Why am I seeing so many wrestlers going in between the ropes and just doing a little elbow shot? Like, every single time I watch a wrestling show, like, everybody's doing that.
Yeah, I'm noticing that a lot more lately, too. I think it's kind of cheap. It's you know what it feels like to me? We've seen this in the past when, in Ring of Honor, I blame Ring of Honor for starting this craze of moves on the ring apron. And once that got started, all of a sudden in WWE with the Usos, everybody else, everyone's doing moves on the apron. It's like they follow in packs. So like this stuff now with the forearm and everything, I feel like I've seen that in WWE. I've probably seen that in other promotions as well. Now we're seeing it here. It's no good. I agree.
All right. I've listened to you for a long time, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
So that was Oklahoma City. And let's see here. Let's go to area code 406. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jack in Montana.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. I was wondering, who do you think should beat Jericho for the belt, Omega or Moxley?
I think it should be Omega. I think that they could have a story here if Omega, let's say, were to lose a few matches and they want to do like a redemption story. Or they can go the other way and just have him go on a tear. He'll beat Moxley and he'll beat his next one or two opponents and maybe the first quarter of next year. Because I'd keep the belt on Jericho for a while. Maybe even up until like WrestleMania time. I guess for them, their WrestleMania maybe would be Double or Nothing if they bring Double or Nothing back to Vegas over Memorial Day weekend. I was at Double or Nothing this year. Any excuse to go to Vegas. I had a good time. I'll be kind of upset if they go back there just because I can't go next year. I already have a party I have to go to, so I wouldn't be able to go, but I would keep the belt on Jericho for a while. There's no need to take it off him so soon. There's certainly no need to take it off him at full gear. I think that would be a mistake. But of those two, Moxley or Omega, I would go with Omega. I think Omega's going to end up being the guy. Let's go to area code 201 in Jersey. You're on the air.
Hey, Solomon, so what's going on? It's your boy Oscar from Jersey.
Hey,
what's going
Oscar.
On, my friend?
It's a long night, but we're getting a lot of calls in, so this is good.
Sure is. I just want to say to the listeners, man, you're an awesome bro. We met at Lost TNA Lockdown, and the cool part was we met at the NJPW ROH show, and the cool part was sitting with you on the Chase Bridge. So you are awesome to meet, man. You're really kind, and you took a photo with me, so I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you.
My question is, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon of the last question you heard. They're doing a really good job with this whole Jericho and Cody storyline, but do you think there might be a little bit of a backlash if Cody wins the belt with the whole, like, do you see fans saying, like, oh, he had to start his own wrestling company to win a world title? I agree with you that Jericho should hold it on a little bit longer, but if Cody would win, do you see a little backlash and maybe, like you said earlier, maybe the honeymoon will be over with AEW? I'm just saying, the moral of the story is with the question, if Cody wins, do you see it actually like a backlash towards AEW?
There definitely will be a contingent of fans who look at it and go, oh, look, it's Baby H. Or, oh, look, it's Triple H 2.0. He's putting himself over. He's putting the world title on himself. There's going to be that sentiment from some people. Is it going to be the death of AEW? Is the majority of the AEW audience going to dislike that? No. Cody is over. To that audience, he is a star. He comes out, he gets the biggest reaction of almost anybody on the show when his music hits and he comes out. So he has created for himself this role as one of the top stars of the promotion. I think they've accepted him in that role. So if he wins the championship, I don't see this massive blowback to it. You'll have people saying, oh, what a bunch of hypocrites. See, Cody does this and everyone's okay with it, but if it were Triple H, you know, people would have their pitchforks out. I think that they need to just keep that belt away from Cody for a while. I think it would be a mistake, and they're setting themselves up for a lot of that, a lot of those comments and a lot of that opinion, and it's just not necessary, because why in the world would you take the championship off of Jericho so soon after he won it? I still say there's a chance MJF is going to turn on Cody at that pay-per-view. I'm waiting for this MJF turn. Full Gear may be it. Plus, we haven't seen Wardlow. What are they going to do with him? Maybe Wardlow will get involved in the main event. We haven't seen him yet. So yeah, I think it would be a mistake to put the title on Cody, but he's going to get it at some point. And I say just give it time. It'll be more deserved in the eyes of some people if they take their time with it, because he's over. You can justify putting the championship on him because he truly is one of the biggest stars that they have in that company right now. Let's go to Georgia. Area code 678, you're on the line. 678, are you there? 678 is not there. We'll take one more, and then we'll wrap it up here. Let's take West Virginia, where the show was tonight. 304, you're on the air.
What's up, Solomon, sir?
What's going on? You didn't happen to be at the show tonight, were you?
No, I wasn't. I wanted to ask you really quick, what did you think about the Hikaru Shida match? Do you think the women's, if they keep having more matches like that, that the women's division will be more elevated?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. If you go back and listen to what I thought about the match earlier in the review, I was talking about this, that I was really impressed by the match. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was the best women's match in AEW yet that I've seen, singles matches anyway. I thought that they had a very good match. And Shanna, is that the way it's pronounced? She was also very impressive. I'd like to see more of her as well. Shida, obviously, is the one that they were really building around. She'll be, I mean, of the two, I'm sure they'll position her more as the star if we see more of her in AEW. But I really enjoyed it. They really needed a good women's match like that on the show because we just haven't gotten that many of them. Britt Baker's been very hit or miss from what I've seen of her. Riho's very good. The people who were raving about the match with her and Nyla Rose, I don't remember thinking that was a very good match either. You know, and that was the match to crown their first ever women's champion. So then we had a couple of multi-women matches, but this was the first match I watched that I said, you know what, this is pretty good. This is actually really good. So my hope is that that's a sign of things to come, but they've got to build that division up. They need more women. I feel like they don't have enough right there. They need to build that division up, bring some more ladies in. I mean, Tessa Blanchard, my understanding is her contract with Impact, from what I've read, I mean, who really knows, runs through next summer. So she's going to be in Impact for a while, but when her contract is up, I don't see any reason for her to stick with Impact. Her stock is on the rise. She can make bank and become, you know, five times the star she'll ever be in Impact by going either to WWE or to AEW. And I'm sure they're both going to want her. And they'll both be willing to offer her a lot of money, I would think. And she'll have a choice to make. But she's going to be a big star. And I'll say the same thing when I do my show on Sunday, because I was thinking about this, but I'll say it now. I don't know how many years it's going to be, but I guarantee you at some point in these next several years, you're going to have a WrestleMania main event of Tessa Blanchard against Charlotte Flair. I mean, how can you not? It's a match that makes total sense. The two daughters of two of the original Four Horsemen, who are very good. I mean, Charlotte, she's had problems being overexposed. I think it's ridiculous how many times they're putting that championship on her just so she can get to her father's record or beat her father's record. I think it's stupid. But Charlotte is very good, and Tessa's very good. You know, Tessa may win the Impact World title. She may end up beating Sami Callihan in these next few months to become the Impact World Champion. So that's going to be a WrestleMania main event match. I don't know how many years it's going to take, but mark my words, at some point it will be. So I want to thank everybody who took the time to super chat, who took the time to call into the show tonight. This was a lot of fun. If you did experience some issues with the stream, I apologize. I'm trying to nip that in the bud. For tomorrow, I'm probably going to be going live tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. One thing that you should just all be aware of, usually when there are issues like that with buffering, what I have found, because there were some people who said the same thing about the last stream last week, on the download or on the archive version, if you go back and listen to the stream and watch it, there were no problems. It was flawless. So I think it's only a live issue. So if you are experiencing problems, if you missed a chunk of the show, you should be able, once this goes up and gets archived on YouTube, you should be able to go back and listen to it just fine. So you always have that option of going back and listening to anything that you may have missed. This should be going up on YouTube in the next few hours in case you missed part of the review. I am going to be back tomorrow. Is Sweet Saudi Money 4. WWE has flown over to Saudi Arabia. They are having their Crown Jewel show, and I am planning on going live when Crown Jewel is over. There will be a review of some kind. I'd like to go live, as long as I don't have any issues. So that is the plan. It should end, I don't know. I mean, the show starts at 1 o'clock Eastern. So the show could end at 4 o'clock Eastern. The show could end at 5 o'clock Eastern. I don't know if it's a four-hour show. Nobody has said. Whenever Crown Jewel ends, I will be probably going live here on the YouTube channel tomorrow. So you can tune in then for that. And of course, as always, episode 624... we'll drop this Sunday on all of the usual platforms. Again, thank you for tuning in tonight. I appreciate all of the support. Love each and every one of you guys. Thank you for tuning in with me tonight. I will be back tomorrow and on Sunday and again for another Dynamite stream next Wednesday. Happy Halloween, everybody. If you're getting all dressed up, right? 30-year-old guy, 40-year-old guys listening to this going to go trick-or-treating. Why not? Why should all the kids get the candy? Fuck the kids. Why can't we get candy? I say put a mask on and go trick-or-treating. Might be a little creepy. Just kind of blend in. Ring doorbells. Ask for Snickers bars. I don't see anything wrong with that. As long as you don't come ringing my doorbell. What do I care? So go trick-or-treating. Have fun, guys. Happy Halloween.